Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Nordstrom brings you the season's most wanted brands. Skims, Mango, Free People, and Princess Polly, all under $100. From trending sneakers to beauty must-haves, we've curated the styles you'll wear on repeat this spring. Free shipping, free returns, and in-store pickup make it easier than ever. Shop now in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
I'll tell you what.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the 144th pick, the Cleveland Browns select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Off the inbound, LeBron James will trigger it. Dangerous pass is knocked away.
This is the playoffs. Fatigue shouldn't play any role in this.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show back here in Los Angeles, California, after 257 draft picks on NFL Network, three shows for us. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel and Infinity Sports Network and Sirius XM and Odyssey in Wisconsin. It was a great run last week, an awesome draft. Thrilled to be here. We're going to review it with you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Call us. What'd you think about your team's draft? What'd you think about the draft overall? Happy to take your phone calls and chit-chat with you, as I'm going to do with Dan Orlovsky of ESPN and Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. And our guy, Mike Mayock, is going to review the draft with us. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm excellent. How are you, man?
The Overreaction Monday podcast. Chris and I just recorded it, so we just did that after the draft is all over. It should be in your RSS feeds. Your podcast inbox is also right there on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel, closing in on 525,000 subscribers and growing. Good to see you over there, DJ Mikey D.
Good
How
morning,
are
Rich.
You, Mike Del Tufo? Good Del to see Tufo. You, brother. And good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Candle is lit. How are you?
I'm great, Rich. You know, yesterday I realized while driving my work week last week considered of watching and talking about WrestleMania and then watching and talking about the NFL draft, and I was like, man, what a life, man.
Knock on wood if you're with me, as John Gruden once upon a time famously said. All right, let's start. Fortunate to be able to do the NFL draft on NFL Network. 22 drafts now and counting. I've seen a lot. I have seen a ton. I've seen players sue their way into the National Football League or attempt and get drafted anyway. I've seen, what else have I seen? I've seen crazy draft trades, crazy draft nights.
Rumors.
Let me just say this. I don't think I've ever in a million years thought that I would ever see. How about that? I never in a million years thought I'd ever see a draft night blown up on social media by somebody trying to do somebody so dirty. They put a video of their Pineapple Express bong mask out there. Never thought I'd see that. Followed up by direct messages of Laramie Tunsil with Ole Miss about trying to set him up with rent and, you know, electricity and all that. I mean, that was the craziest draft moment in the first round of a draft I've ever seen. But in terms of an entirety, second one to second last, pick one through Mr. Irrelevant, I've never seen a draft journey, and I don't think I ever will see a crazier one again than the one of Shedeur Sanders. If you had told me that Shedeur Sanders would go 143 picks after Cam Ward, if you had told me that a guy who throughout the entire draft process was considered by many knowledgeable evaluators as a top five pick would wind up a fifth round pick, I would have told you you're out of your mind. And sure enough, Shedeur Sanders, who we spent much of Friday's show talking about because he slipped through the first round, slipped through the second day. Nobody used a second or a third round pick on him. And then he slipped through the fourth round. And at that point in time, I'm thinking that the NFL's lost its mind. I really was. Listen, the number of times, and I said this Thursday night after he wasn't drafted, and then Friday night after he wasn't drafted, but certainly on Friday night after he wasn't drafted, the number of times you've seen somebody drafted in the NFL, talent over everything, when the everything would fill up an amusement park with the number of red flags surrounding this prospect, and somebody drafted him anyway. I've lost track. I've lost count. And this young man's transgression, apparently, was being unprofessional in meetings, being unprepared in meetings. That does count for something. It counts for everything in many job interviews, and this is a job interview. Okay? Like, if you show up to a job interview with somebody unprepared and uncaring, you're not going to get hired, nor should you. And so that makes sense when it's normally a business where that stuff counts. And it does count in the NFL, but so many other times, your talent, doesn't matter what you've done, hey, you can help me win games. You're hired, and we'll deal with it. Because you've learned from your past, you've learned from this. Again, I've lost track. And this kid's transgression has nothing to do with anything that would show up on a back page or, heaven forbid, a front page of a newspaper. I couldn't believe it. He's a fifth round draft choice, and teams are passing up on him one after the other after the other. Oh, he's got a dad like LeVar Ball. Deion Sanders now suddenly LeVar Ball. Okay. I got it. Like, what, LeVar what, had, what, he averaged one point a game when he started, when he was playing at any level, right?
Yeah, 1.3, okay. Maybe.
And he's just going to be a helicopter dad, and he's going to blow up your franchise, and this kid's going to have cameras in the locker room, and he's going to blow everything up. As if this isn't the NFL, where head coaches like Belichick just suck all the oxygen out of the draft, out of the press room or the locker room, and can tell you, you're not being able to talk to my player. Mike Tomlin, if they had drafted Shedeur there, couldn't have told him, yeah, the cameras aren't coming in. And you know who would have backed off right away? Shedeur. And you know who would have told Shedeur to back off right away? His dad. All those arguments about Shedeur not being draftable because of, you know, Deion saying, you know, Deion's Prime Video reality shows is a sign of the team that didn't draft him, their weakness. It's your team. It's your locker room. You run it. And you know who would respect that? The guy who runs his team the way he sees fit. By telling all the kids who he's inherited when he takes the job, bring your Louis Vuittons, because you're packing up out of here. And guess what? I'm going to retire my son's number. I don't care what you say about it. I just couldn't, like, slip through the first round, I get. Slip through the second day. All right, now you're going to have to explain to me what you're thinking. And again, if you're the Giants, and you're like, I'd rather trade up for Jackson Dart because I like his tape, and I also don't want to deal with the other stuff that I'm concerned about with Shedeur. I'd rather work with one kid over the other. Then it's on Shedeur because he didn't either come prepared for a meeting or he was uninterested in a meeting. I'm not saying it was with the Giants, but if any other teams passed up on him, then it's on you. It's on Shedeur and his tape. Second night. All right, you know, the Saints, what, they like Tyler Shuck better than him? Well, I look forward to seeing, you know, Tyler Shuck prove that they did the right thing. And we've met him, and he's got that chip on his shoulder, too. And the Seattle Seahawks, they liked Milroe more than this kid. and the team that drafted him like Dylan Gabriel more than him. Okay. Now that one we're going to actually see a competition about if that's right or not. But then the fourth round, I mean, he's passing up on this kid in the fourth round. The fourth round. Daniel Jeremiah nailed every single one of his top 100 got drafted. Every one of them. Perfect 100 for 100. Not in the order, but he just shows you he knows talent. Shador was number 20 on his draft board. 20. Okay. Being drafted in the fifth round, I didn't see that one coming. And I don't, it's a mixture of they didn't like the tape, they didn't like the kid, they didn't like this, they didn't like that. But through to day three, I've never seen anything like it. Nothing like it. And then on top of it, he gets pranked. He gets pranked by an Ole Miss kid who got the number from the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons kid. Snaked it off his dad's iPad. So he gets pranked. And to Shador's credit, he was not moping. He wasn't, I'm sure he was thoroughly disappointed. I'm sure he was stunned that he got pranked on a phone that only NFL teams had access to. I'm sure that sucked. But for anyone out there who's like Shador needed to be taught a lesson and has had everything spoon-fed to him by his dad, well, this is the laboratory in which that theory will be tested, because he's going to have to compete. And again, this is the other crazy part of this. Shador doesn't get drafted in the top five. He gets drafted in the fifth round. He's 143 picks separated from Cam Ward and a darn near almost a half dozen other prospects at the position taken before him. And a team he winds up on already drafted a quarterback before him and passed up on drafting his all-world Heisman Trophy teammate to start the draft. So the team that says, yeah, Travis Hunter is Ohtani, but I mean, we need more picks, so we'll take one next year and move down and take an outstanding defensive lineman. That team could have had both and winds up after everything else, after passing up on him six times. It's like more shots than Don Corleone absorbed, right? Passed up on him six times. Traded their final draft pick of the draft in the fifth round to trade up a few spots to beat the Eagles, apparently, to Shador Sanders. And then, you know, the coach and the GM, like, when they showed the shot of them celebrating, you know, some teams, they're all hugging. You see they're hugging, right? They're hugging everybody. Remember the Lions, and then you see the Eagles, the Niners. They're all, honestly, a fifth-round pick. They're just hugging it out like they just won the lottery. And the coach and the GM, I wanted them to hold up a copy of the plane deal to see if it was if they were alive on that day. They said it had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. That's how Shador Sanders got drafted. You gotta be kidding me. Nuts. Craziest draft journey. We've never, in my 22 years of doing the draft, never had a story that was of interest at pick one last all the way to day three. Never. Never. Even Maurice Clarett, the aforementioned individual who sued to get in the league, he was drafted in the third round. He sued the league. He told the league, I am serving you. I'm willing to get into an illegal fight with the National Football League, and the Broncos said, you're hired, to him. And he quit at the combine.
He's not the quarterback, though.
I know that.
I did enjoy Joel's pushback on that, because he's right.
Which is what? You don't want that to be at your leadership position.
Exactly. Face of the franchise, leadership, leader in the locker room, the man who commands the huddle and who is front and center for every issue of the team. They always go to the quarterback first.
and you need to be damn sure about it.
Yeah. Also, look, Albert tried to, we're going to talk to him. Albert tried to tell us for months that a lot of teams did not have him as a first round grade.
I'm not sitting here and saying
but
first
then when
round.
But then when he starts slipping, you're like, well, are we going to waste a draft pick on a backup quarterback? No. How many teams actually had them on their draft board? We don't know, but it seems like it was only a handful to begin with because every other team's quarterback room is pretty much set.
I hear you.
You can when you really talk it all out. It's not as you know, extravagantly surprising as a lot of people in the media are making it out to be.
Chris, pick 144. Yeah. 144.
I mean, that's
the number of times, and I won't say which they were. I'm not going to say which they were. I won't say it. But the number of times somebody got picked late third, early fourth, and I just peripherally see my analysts kind of look at each other like, really, that kid got drafted?
I mean, you sit here and say that the quarterback has to be the face.
Well, he's right about it. He's right about that.
But guys like Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield, who've been arrested and have other things had happened to them, they've been given that shot. And I'm not saying talent-wise he should have been number one or anything, but when you look at that stuff...
Those guys won the Heisman Trophy.
Now, listen, those guys had way better college results.
For sure.
You're still talking about... Baker, I'd like to remove Baker from the equation here.
Fine.
Because I don't think that's apples to apples in any way, shape, or form. But I understand what you're saying, TJ. Again, first round, I was surprised, but I get it. Like, there's first round pick. If you don't think the kid is a starter... And if you don't think that he can be your starter and is someone that you're going to be reliant on, if you don't think, I totally get you passing on him. And I even think that in the second round. Third round, now we're like, what's up? Fourth round. I couldn't believe he got through the fourth round. I was stunned.
Yeah.
Stunned. But if you're the Steelers and you're like, hey, Rodgers is coming, and we like somebody just as much in the fifth and sixth round, and Jack Sawyer's sitting out there. I get that, too. I get that. But people start taking flyers on guys, and he's passing through, and then he gets drafted by a team that already took a quarterback.
Quinn Ewers went to the college football playoff and was taken in the seventh round.
And by the way,
so the backup quarterbacks in this draft all dropped.
No, I hear you. And that's just, again, the evaluation. I hear you, Chris.
Yeah.
But fifth round. Ooh. And there's a ton of people that agree with exactly what you're saying. And if a kid gets on a grease board and isn't any good or isn't any interested, I understand passing. All the way to round five, though. Round five. Well, he's going to get a chance to compete and show everybody that they're wrong. And guess what? Guess what? The proof will come out in that pudding. And certainly if you think that somebody tapped the general manager and coach of the Cleveland Browns on the shoulder to say, draft this kid, then he's going to a spot where there's a deck and there's more cards stacked against than four. And he's going to have to fight through all that. And this could be one of the freezing cold take moments here. And it could come as soon as mid-August. Because guess what? Fifth round selections get thrown on that waiver wire first cut pile over and over and over again in this league. And that's the reality of what he's been drafted into. You are a fifth round pick. And you are not even the first quarterback we took in the draft. And there is a veteran that's definitely going to be on the roster because he won comeback player of the year for us. And there's a guy who took a victory formation in the Super Bowl that we acquired first up this year. So Shador is going to have to work his ass off now. And if he doesn't do that and he doesn't realize it and he blows the opportunity... And he deserved to be a fifth-round draft choice, period. End of story. He deserved to be the last guy taken in the draft. If this opportunity isn't one that he is going to take seriously and knock the heck out of. See, I didn't say hell because Dion doesn't. Let's take a break. Dan Orlovsky is on the program. We'll dive deeper into the Cleveland Browns draft. We'll also talk a little bit more about the prank call. We'll talk about the rest of this draft. We'll talk NBA playoffs, so much more. But Dan Orlovsky, when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference, because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
What if I told you there was a way to help crack the case of the slugging metabolism and the disappearing results? The answer might surprise you. Every fitness journey has its unsolved mysteries. The case of the vanishing progress, the enigma of persistent cravings, the curious incident of willpower that vanishes without a trace. But there's a new breakthrough in the investigation. Smoothie King's Dark Chocolate Banana Metabolism Boost, a smoothie crafted to be your partner in helping to crack these fitness cold cases. With 23 grams of protein and 12 grams of fiber, it's designed to help keep you fuller longer and to help boost your metabolism. No more mysterious disappearances of your hard-earned results. 0 grams of added sugar and naturally derived caffeine work together to help rev up your metabolism, and at just 320 calories, it's the perfect meal replacement for anyone trying to close the case on their weight management goals. Don't let another fitness mystery go unsolved. Head to your local Smoothie King to try the Dark Chocolate Banana Metabolism Boost, also available in strawberry, pineapple, and mango ginger. Life is a workout. Make it a good one with Smoothie King. Individual results will vary. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel, let's bring him right on, even before the radio audience returns, his outstanding work on ESPN and the Disney family of networks is front and center all the time. Dan Orlovsky back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Dan. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man. How are you, bud?
I'm good. I can't believe what I witnessed over the 3 days in Green Bay, but we'll hit that in a second. What'd you think of the draft in Green Bay? It was a blast, right? Like, everyone was a sweetheart, right? Rolling out the red carpet, the whole business. Dan?
Yeah, I thought Green Bay was sensational. You know, first of all, the draft in general and what the NFL has done with the draft is remarkable. It has become anybody who gets to experience it, it's an event. It's a spectacle. It's, I don't want to say as big as the Super Bowl, but in many ways, when you're there, it feels as big as the Super Bowl. And the fact that they've taken it to all these different cities and allowed the NFL to experience different cities and its fans to experience different cities. And then, Rich, like every year is a banger, it feels like. I remember Nashville, and then I remember Cleveland and Kansas City. And then obviously, like last year was a trademark year, it felt like, or just like a stamp year. And you're like, well, how do you beat Detroit? And I'm not sitting here telling people that Green Bay beat Detroit, but to match just the feel of it and the amount of people with it, you know, they did an awesome job. The people at our hotel were just unreal kind. And it was a really, really good couple of days for the NFL, really good couple of days for Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree, man. 100%. And, you know, it didn't pass Detroit in terms of attendance. But you know, it was pretty cool, and everyone there were wide-eyed, couldn't believe that they were having the draft in Wisconsin and in Green Bay, and then that moment for Matthew Golden on Thursday night, right? And then
awesome.
that kid Sorrell, who was there on Saturday, he got a parade. It was really great, man. It was awesome. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Dan Orlovsky is here. I'm sitting on the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Your two cents on the Shedeur Sanders drafting, his draft experience, now that we're a couple of days removed from actually being drafted, is what, Dan?
Yeah. Was I surprised that he went as late as he did? Yes. You know, I don't think we have to answer. I've heard everybody in the last 48 hours have to answer the question of, well, why do you think he fell? We don't have to answer the think part of it anymore. We kind of know now, you know, if the outside person knows now. And I believe that we got a lot of great reporters that are attached to the media and the NFL. I work at ESPN, so I pay attention to everybody's reports. And throughout this process, as it's gotten closer to the draft, you heard the reports that were public reports that, oh, we're trying to find a team and he might be slipping. And, you know, I think that, again, there's so many good reporters, but I pay attention to what Shefty says. And I paid attention to what Peter Schrager was saying. And I thought those guys did a great job of just taking the conversations that they were having and gathering the information. And if you really paid attention to it, you realize that it didn't seem made up and it didn't seem positive. And so was I surprised that he went in the fifth round? Yes. But the more you paid attention to how they were communicating all the information that they were gathering, it seemed that a lot of the teams shared with them that their experience with Shedeur and the draft evaluation process was not a good one. It's not what I think. It's just hearing the information. And so, you know, Rich, I thought just off tape, and that's part of it, because I saw a lot of the, well, I saw him in mock drafts as like the third pick or the second or at worst third best quarterback. Daniel Jeremiah, who's as good as it gets, people's jobs that are just doing, we get part of the picture. It is just part of the picture. Like, we're just going strictly off the player, the tape. And we all know that that is only part of the process. And so when those teams are diving in with those guys and experiencing them, and you're making a massive investment in the person as much as you are the player. And the teams felt that they weren't comfortable with that. And so I guess I was surprised that the player on tape went as late as he did. I had from the beginning kind of felt like he was a late one, early second round. I could be argued into third round type of talent. But, you know, again, we don't have to think of why fifth round became into the conversation, and because the teams shared their experiences.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. Obviously, it'll be years till we can talk about wins, losses, and things of that nature. Which team's draft jumps out at you to say, okay, I really like what they did. I like what they're clearly building or adding to. Which one is that? Dan?
Yeah, I really like both New York teams. I really do. I thought the Giants and Jets both had, but the Giants won the draft, and it felt like in a day and a half changed the whole perception of where they are as an organization.
Wow.
Laughing stock because you trade away Saquon Barkley and, you know, he goes on to have this historic season. And then, you know, in a short period of time, you get a guy that everyone that knows about rushers says, this guy's awesome. Okay, Abdul Carter. And then you take Jackson Dart late in the first round. And I think Jackson Dart's going to be a good player. You get Scataboo, I believe, in the fourth round, who I think is going to be a really nice piece with their 1-2 punch and running backs. And it just looks like competency. It looks like hope. It looks like they have a plan moving forward, obviously, with the addition of Russell and Jameis. So it's kind of this whole offseason. The Giants now feel like, oh, we may have a building block of foundation for their future. The Jets, Membu, everyone raved about as a tackle. I thought, you know, that was a great pick. I loved Mason Taylor. Candidly, I thought Mason Taylor had the chance to be a late first round pick. I was like, man, the Rams, I could see them getting him. Arian Smith's super fast now. He's got to be more consistent with his hands. Malachi Moore, Auburn, multiple time, or Alabama, multiple time captain. So I like that the Jets laid a really good foundation for, you know, some good pieces. Obviously, Philly had a great draft. Howie Roseman, you know, like I was sitting there with Marcus Spears and Gandhi, and when Howie took Campbell in the first round, Marcus like said so many swear words out loud. And I took a video with him and I texted Howie Roseman and I said, Spears can't stand you. And he said, we're just getting started, baby. So, you know, I thought Philadelphia's draft was really good. I also like New England's, and I've been really critical of New England, but to get Will Campbell. And Rich, I don't know if you've heard much of his sound clips.
Yeah, yeah.
But good Lord, dude, I would want to play quarterback for that guy. I mean, I feel like Drake May has got to feel like the most secure person in the planet right now. When that guy's, the way he talks and the reverence he talks, Travion Henderson's a really good back. I like Kyle Williams. Got to catch the ball more consistently, but just the ability to have vertical speed, I think, is a really big part and needed part of their offense. So to get a tackle that, you know, Will Campbell just reminds me of Andrew Whitworth in a way. Like, hey, man, I'm going to be really good. And that relationship that I have with that quarterback, it's like me and my wife. Like, it, I, you know, like that's how great offensive linemen are. So I thought they had a really good draft. Green Bay, really good. Denver, really good. Dallas needed a receiver, but I thought they did some nice stuff. But I thought there were some teams that were impressive.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. So then which quarterback taken between Cam and Shador, or even after, I'll give you the floor. Which one do you think is, we already mentioned about Dart. I don't think he's starting. I just don't think he's going to start this year. And if the Giants had their druthers, they'd have a successful season with one of the two backups, and Dart would watch or look and maybe wet his beak a little bit like Patrick Mahomes did at the end of his first year. So I guess from Shuck to McCord or even yours, tell me who you like and the mix that we have right there.
Yeah, so I'll go from top to bottom. Obviously, Cam Ward's going to start. It looks like they're going to follow the Joe Burrow model and kind of what they do with Cincinnati and a lot of ball distribution, and I think that's a good situation. I agree Jackson Dart shouldn't start. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know if you saw the Gruden clip. He doesn't even know how to use a cadence. You know, they did the clap cadence. It was great with Coach Gruden when he was like, give me your cadence, and he clapped. He's like, seriously. He's like, this is all we do. So, you know, there's a lot of, while super talented, there's a lot of stuff he's going to have to learn. I think Tyler Shuck's going to play just because, you know, you hear the stories of Derek Carr, and I think that was part of the reason why they liked Tyler Shuck. And so we need an adult in the room in a way. Obviously, his age is a big part of that conversation. And so if Derek Carr can't play, you feel somewhat comfortable with Tyler Shuck. I don't think Milroe plays, but I loved this pick for Seattle. For me, he was a guy that if you just believed in development and you believe in that young man's work ethic and his character, and you just give him time to work on the because he's still so just scratching the development phase moving forward. I honestly, if I was Cleveland, and this is a little bit easy because my job's not on the line type of thing, I think the world of Kevin Stefanski. But if I was Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, and I had a pretty good feeling that we're going to be here for those two first round picks of next year that they have to maybe decide the quarterback situation, I would be hard pressed to not start Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. I want to play one of those guys. Maybe I play both of them over the course of the season. Let's see if we struck gold with one. Like, let's see if we got lucky with one and we found a rookie year Dak Prescott type of player. So I think they're both in good situations, but I think we'll see a decent amount of rookie quarterbacks play this year.
Right. Okay. And then, you know, the rest of them, if you wouldn't mind Mike Hoskins popping that back up on the screen, those quarterbacks, McCord and Howard, those are two guys that we've been talking quite a bit a lot. Will Howard sits there too. I mean, McCord is, I guess, in the Tanner McKee spot to try and compete there behind Jalen Hurts. Will Howard, I mean, you look at the Steelers and you're thinking, obviously, they've got to be thinking. And we had Tomlin on Saturday on NFL Network. He basically said, we're expecting him to come. Like, you know, I dare not to put words in his mouth. But, you know, the rest of the guys are definitely going to be there and hopefully sticking with a team and developing. But what about Howard there in Pittsburgh, do you think?
Yeah. Will Howard, first of all, it starts with Aaron, right? Everyone knows that. If Aaron's going to be there, Aaron's going to be starting quarterback. If for some reason Aaron's not going to be there, then it's really Will Howard and Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph's one of the better backups in the NFL. So everyone that you talk to about Will Howard loved the guy, loved the way that his teammates loved him. He obviously got hot at the end of the season. He's a big athletic dude with a big arm that can – you know, you got good perimeter pieces. I think of obviously the Jeremiah Smith connection that he had as the playoff went on and DK Metcalf and George Pickens. So he's a little bit, I want to use the phrase like afterthought right now, because the focus in Pittsburgh from both, I would imagine, internally and externally is Aaron Rodgers. But there's still the chance that he doesn't go until he actually goes there. So if he doesn't go, I think Will Howard probably becomes a little bit more of the conversation. If Aaron goes there, you know, he's probably the guy that you're looking at to the future. And here's your number three quarterback right now.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then just putting a bow on it. I mean, you mentioned how if you're Stefanski, you know, maybe you play Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur. Howard, they can't take four in, right? Like, how do you see this competition going? I see it, just to throw it out there, and then you can tell me if I'm off or not, that they're just going to look at Flacco and say, we know you, okay? And we're going to have you, and you may damn well be the week one starter. So we're just going to remove you. You can be ready tomorrow, so we're not going to worry about you, right? He's on the team, and then it's a game of two spots for two rookies and a guy who's trying to reclaim his status as a first-round draft choice to, quarterback in Kenny Pickett, right, Dan? I mean, how does this work?
Cleveland? So it was obvious that once they cheered out of the number two position, that at least at that position, there wasn't looking forward to 2026. That you get that second first round pick in 2026. I understand value, but when you're an organization that doesn't have a quarterback, that is naturally going to be, rightfully so, what we attach the thought process to. So there's, you know, and initially my mind goes to, okay, there's got to be overall looking at that class and saying there's some really high potential guys that might be in that class. So if you are the Browns and that's your thought process, I agree with you. Joe can go out and play probably competent football tomorrow. So if that's what you have, and you think as an organization that the general manager and the head coach are the right people, really indifferent of results this year, outside of, oh my gosh, it's a total disaster, then I really do think you want to do everything you can to figure out Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. And did you find a guy that all of a sudden becomes Brock Purdy, all of a sudden becomes Dak Prescott, all of a sudden becomes a mid-round pick that overplays where he was selected, and maybe then quarterback's not that pressing need in the first round next year. Maybe you get to be in the advantageous situation that not only did you steal a starting quarterback, but you got him in a later rounds, and now you can really build a roster that can go on a 2 or 3 year run around that quarterback. So I think that's probably the way that I would go about it if I was Cleveland. Now, if both of those guys in camp tell you we can't play, like we're not good, we're not good players or early on in the season, then you have a starter that can keep you in football games and play good winning football.
Yeah, I just find it that they're going to, I don't know, the way I look at it, I see it's more likely Flacco, Pickett, and one of the rookies than Flacco and two rookies.
So I think the pushback that I would have to that, Rich, is what would be the benefit to keeping a Kenny Pickett over the two rookies? Let's say they're one's an 8 and one's a 7 out of the 1 through 10 rating type of thing.
I don't know. Winning games, it's just that simple. You know, and I know winning games in the long run, if you're already looking over the steering wheel at 2026, is not optimum. I don't know, man. I think one of them might show in training camp whether they're ready or not.
And I agree.
You know, and so carrying two rookies in Flacco means you're really opening your season up to being one long training camp for 2026, or at least a laboratory for your draft. And I just don't know if that's the way Myles Garrett, is this the quarterback plan that he had, was five guys, two rookies?
You know, yeah.
I mean, with Watson sitting out there too, roster.
I totally understand that. I guess the counterpoint I would have thought process is, and with all due respect to Kenny, it's not like Kenny Pickett's going to, Myles Garrett's going to go, all right, we kept right. Kenny, you know, instead. So, you know, I think that, you know, Cleveland's obviously in a better place than they were to start the draft at the quarterback position. And, you know, when you're in those positions, you're always trying to find players that overperform, right? And, you know, while Kenny might have had, now maybe Kenny becomes a trade piece. Maybe Kenny has a really good training camp and becomes a training camp preseason, and some team needs a guy that can go play good football. So, again, it's going to be decided on the field. But I think if both those guys show signs as rookies, I'd be hard pressed to not try to figure out who and what they are.
So then what's the one guy? I know there's 257 of them, but screw it. I'll ask you anyways. I leave you on this Monday. The one guy that you're like, perfect pick, perfect fit, kid's going to just crush it. Could be anybody that we just described. Could be obvious. Could be top five. Doesn't matter. Which one do you?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two because I can never give one. The two first round tight ends. You know, I got an argument yesterday with a buddy of mine who's a Bears fan, and he's like, why didn't we take Tyler Warren? And I said, listen, they're both awesome players. Loveland actually fits a little bit of what Ben Johnson wants to do more out of their tight ends in Chicago than Warren. Doesn't make him a lesser player. You want a one-on-one guy. Anybody who watched the tape of these guys saw Loveland was a little bit more of a one-on-one guy in Michigan. You got to be able to block at the point. Loveland did that a little bit more. And I think Ty Warren's going to have just as much of an impact. He reminds me of Trey McBride out of the Cardinals. Just get him in shrunk down formations, find ways to get him the football. He's going to be a massive yards after the catch guy. I think there's going to be a little bit of a benefit with the creativity from Caleb on broken plays. And so you talk about two tight ends that I think went to perfect places and should have immediate big time impact to their offenses. It's those guys.
What about the Raiders and Jeanty? I mean, Jeanty was saying that Marshawn Lynch was a guy who was kind of whispering in his ear this entire time. And Pete Carroll is the one who drafts him.
Raiders fans are upset with me. I really like Jeanty. I'm not going to, you know, like Jeanty's a really, really nice player. The Raiders last year averaged 3.4 yards per carry. That's the worst for an NFL team since 1996. I think it was like 1.9 yards before contact, which was the worst in the NFL. So while the run game was bad in general, and they had a multitude of backs carry the ball, it wasn't just the back. And so I understand it's a new regime and all that, but I do believe in building your front before you get that final piece. While the running back usage and, you know, obviously the impact has rightfully so come back to the NFL, it still is about the line of scrimmage. It still is about the line of scrimmage. And I just hope that the Raiders really form an offensive line that is worthy of capitalizing on that back's talent rather than sitting there going, okay, we're going to hand it off to the back and we'll figure it out as we go type of thing. So I do like what they did. I wish their offensive line was a little bit better, because then I thought it could be a special connection.
Dan, you're the man. Thanks again, pal. I know you worked your ass off last week. It was great seeing you. It's great running into
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, our sets were right next to each other. It was that Anchorman moment, right? On Wednesday when we were all rehearsing on Wednesday.
You know, waving through the glass?
No, that when we were all hanging out behind our respective sets, and we were all just hanging. We should have taken a picture, all of us, or like mocked that we were having a fight, because it did look like an alleyway too, right? We
could have.
Next year in
Now
Pittsburgh.
Now that you put the visual in my head, for sure.
Next year in Pittsburgh, we'll do that. Dan, thanks for the time.
I look forward to it.
We'll chat
soon.
Thanks,
brother.
Obviously, that's Dan Orlovsky, one of the best of the best right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, man. Maybe. We'll talk about that later. Where you got Flacco and two rookies. What do you think? Flacco and two rookies, or Flacco, Pickett, and a rookie? What's more likely? What's more likely? What do you think?
One rookie, Pickett, and Flacco.
TJ?
I agree with what Chris said.
But his point is just like, hey, if it's all about 2026 and you're already putting some draft eggs in that basket by not drafting Travis Hunter.
Well, Chris, the wild thing is they're projected to have the number one pick next year. Well, and that's the guy who's going to buy me a boat. So I don't know how this is going
to
work.
I hate to tell you, pal, I'm hearing that boat might not get might be in dry dock in 2026.
Might have to wait another year.
Well, the only way he's coming out is if the Saints have the first pick. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Well, the water ain't going nowhere, Mike. I can wait.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Andrew Bogish with a sports update. Don't go anywhere. Albert Breer on so much more of this with Mike Mayock and you at 844-204-RICH. It's that time of the year, people. It's time to go and smell the fresh cut grass at a ballpark and take in a game with your friends and your family. It is awesome. And the best way to do it is to use Game Time Tickets to get you there, because it's the easiest way, Game Time Tickets, to get tickets on short notice. Low price tickets all over the app. And that lets you buy more food and drinks at the game, merchandise. It's easier to get a larger group to come with you. We all use Game Time Tickets here at the Rich Eisen Show. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets through Game Time for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Game Time Picks makes getting those last minute tickets easier than ever. Quickly highlights the best deals in the stadium. The all-in pricing feature is my favorite because it shows you the total up front. There's no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Worried about your battery and the heat? We get it. You don't want to get stranded somewhere with a car that feels like an oven. We've got you covered at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Our free battery testing and charging service can help. And if you need a battery, we'll help you find a new one, no problem. Power through with free battery testing and charging at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that 2 minute drill the Bengals in your second Super Bowl win against them?
It was kind of funny because, as you know, TV timeouts are forever in the Super Bowl.
Tell me about it.
So I had been to the sideline once, maybe even twice, and we were just standing out there waiting for the signal to start to play. I think we had the ball in the eight. And Harris Barton was a people person, so we were free for dinner during the week, but you know, practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
And in the crowd.
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying he saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go and needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so I walked over and said, hey, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes, perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy. But he started mumbling some things. Super Bowl, you want to do a candy? What do you know? What's going through? I don't know what he said completely. I understood a few words. But now he appreciates it now more than he did back then.
Right.
Before we started the drive.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on.
Yeah. They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right,
I might have been wearing an Argonaut.
You'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said, hey,
Had a couple meetings about it. Yeah.
You did? So this is real. Like, it wasn't oh, by the way.
No.
Wow. I love that. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Closing in on 925K of our subscribers. And just
about that.
Appreciate the growing viewership of our YouTube channel every single day. You can check out our podcast there. Overreaction Monday is sitting out there right now.
Yes,
who's
sir.
On No Contest Wrestling later on today, TJ?
It will just be O'Shea and I. We're going to do a lot of recapping, man.
Yeah, because you did your show last week from Vegas.
WWE World.
But you had guests to back. Wait, so you really didn't have a lot of time to explore the studio space.
Yeah, we really didn't. It was kind of crazy, man. They called our name and we walked out and was like, wow, there are people out here.
Yeah, I know, man. That's great. So, that'll be later on. Still lots to discuss. It was fun having Seth Rollins on set.
Awesome. Last,
and by the way, he basically cut a Bears promo in front of the Green Bay.
Oh,
it was
so good.
Yeah. And by the way, remember he said, I hope they don't trade out of the pick, and then they traded down.
Yeah.
And he had to wait like a good hour and a half almost longer.
I almost asked Rich, did you see him get bumped off stage? Well, of course you did, because you were there.
That actually happened, yes. Hey, mom doesn't want flowers you picked out from a website or chocolates you picked up last minute at the pharmacy. She wants to hear from you. She wants to feel like she's still an important part of your life. So this Mother's Day, call your mother. Or better yet, give her some new tech and a reminder you love her with an Aura digital picture frame. Aura Frames was just named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and was featured in 495 gift guides last year. So the next time you need to call your mom, you can also just send her a pic of you two right from your phone. Aura's got a great deal for Mother's Day. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. They get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver Matte Frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code of Rich. Support the station by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Woo. Listen. The pranking of Shedeur Sanders was so disturbing and so awful and so mean-spirited, off the charts, that anybody would do this to any other human being in any other endeavor. You need to look in the mirror and check yourself. It's that simple. It's that simple. And then just the fact, this was a knife twist, the fact that the college kids who did it, were stupid enough to pop it out on, make a video of it like they're proud of it, laughing that a kid, again, doesn't matter who he is, just somebody thinks that this is a job moment, and the long wait is over, the entire country's talking about it. Honestly, the folks who didn't follow the draft were heard of what was happening with Shedeur Sanders. Everyone was talking about it in our country for the sports world. Yeah. That you would say, oh, this is funny. This is great. This is what I should be doing with my time. And then we find out that the phone number that got out is one that was only proprietary to NFL teams. That it was a specific phone that the Sanders folks gave out to just teams to call. and we find out it was the son of the defensive coordinator. I feel for Jeff Ulbrich, too, because I clearly he doesn't want to be known as the guy whose iPad wasn't secure enough, and the person who snaked it off his iPad was his son. He doesn't want his son in the middle of all this stuff. His son is right now, you know, equated with this dumbassery. Awful. He's got to be, and all the teams will be involved, and Deion and the Falcons. His numbers in the rafters. The old house was the house that Deion built.
Yep.
Just terrible. The whole thing is just such a, it's awful. No, it's lose, 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 lose. And I feel for absolutely everybody involved in this whole thing. I cannot imagine this would ever happen again or should. And, in, you know, the Falcons heard about it. They, Arthur Blank must have lost his mind. Mm-hmm. And when they found out, I'm a 21-year-old son of Jeff Ulbrich, unintentionally came across the draft contact phone number for Shador Sanders off an open iPad while visiting his parents' home, wrote down the number to conduct a prank call. Jeff was unaware. He's got to be beside himself, too. So they basically told the kid, you're calling, it seems like they said, you're calling Shador, who apparently graciously accepted the apology.
Yeah.
The son Jax put out an Instagram apology. Just it's unbelievable this happened.
Him graciously accepting this tells
should be
you
something should be, else about Shador. Everything that everyone tell you, misread.
You do that to me, it's on for life. Like it's on for life. I will never forget that, and I will never forgive that, ever.
So our friend Kara Henderson Sneed, I've known Kara since we worked together at ESPN, and she is, quite frankly, one of the greatest idea people I've ever come across. Her ideas for so many things. She's given us ideas for this show. She's come up with her own show ideas, but you know, she's got it on the ball. She went to Duke. She said, my solve for the prank crisis, FaceTime draft calls. We all win. Brilliant.
Yeah, how are we not doing this in the year 2025 already?
Every draft call needs to be
a FaceTime.
A facial.
Seems easy.
It needs to be video.
A face-to-face.
Exactly.
Seems easy.
Why are we? Like, that is so simple.
The reason why these teams make these calls.
Yeah, this is a great.
I've been told this over and over again because I kept asking when, you know, when we're watching draft prospects fall and then they get on the phone and it tips the picks, right?
Today, the
pulse. We used to see they're on the phone. One year, Drew Rosenhaus faked like he was on the phone to get Willis McGahee drafted.
Yeah,
right. And I asked longtime evaluators and coaches. They say we make these calls because we want to make sure the kid's okay. We're not going to draft somebody who just got hospitalized or even worse. So that checks the box. You get to see the kid's face, and the face gets to make sure you're not some 21-year-old kid who's just dumbly took the phone off his dad's iPad and created a mess for everybody, including himself. So, sorry I got to talk about a 21-year-old. I'd love for him to just be anonymous and just, for, you know, apologize, have it accepted, and move on. But this had to be talked about. FaceTime, everybody. Aaron Rodgers would appreciate it.
Yeah.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.